Hey guys, Raphael here of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Did you say podcast? Dudes, dudettes, you're listening to the podcast on the Geekcast Radio Network. Cowabunga!
Hello, this is the Cinema Geeks, and I am one of your Cinema Geeks, Optimus Solo, and joining me today, as he has for the last number of podcasts revolving the Turtles franchise, is Dan. Hello.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going. I'm very intrigued and interested to hear your take on this film, so I'm excited to somewhat get into this. So if you have been paying attention on the channel, we have been going through all of the films in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle franchise, starting with the 1990s live-action film, covering all of the four live-action films that exist and the number of animated films. We've already covered the TMNT, the first animated film. We've covered Turtles Forever. And today we're covering the third in the animated versions that we have watched, and that is Batman versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is a 2019 American animated superhero film. And obviously we're going to be merging the worlds of Batman and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We'll get into which characters they decided to involve and some of the actors, voice actors, etc., and the story and all that type of stuff. But just kind of to set the stage a little bit, Dan, had you ever seen this one before, and kind of what was your anticipation or thoughts going into it?
I have never watched this one before. I don't know why. I read a little bit of the crossover comics. There's been a few of them. There's actually been just the normal one, and then they've done like animated versions of them as well. I skipped the movie. I don't know. Part of me just wasn't super interested. It didn't seem like it was something that I saw them discussing a lot or a lot of marketing behind. I know it's a direct to animated movie, but still, even with that. So I just kind of, you know, passed it along. But doing this, it seemed like, hey, it's a good opportunity to check that out. You know, it's Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Just seems like it kind of writes itself in a lot of ways, and sometimes you could argue that it did with this movie, but we can get into it.
Yeah, I had never seen this one before. I was not someone that grew up, outside of like having Spider-Man coloring books and stuff like that, I didn't grow up with any of the Marvel or DC comics. I didn't grow up watching any of the animated series, because a lot of those were hitting more so in the 90s, like the mid to late 90s, I feel like. And at that point, I was just not watching a lot of animated content, so I kind of missed out on that whole phase of animation that was happening. So, and I never really jumped on to like try to catch up, so I really have no experience with any of the animated stuff from DC or Marvel, minus a few things I've watched just to try to discover voice content and things of that nature. I didn't even know this existed until we were kind of looking at all the animated and live action Turtles movies, and I was like, what is this? So I really had no experience or no kind of expectation going into it. I was interested to see how they would kind of blend the worlds, because I'm not always the biggest mashup fan.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes it's just a cash grab. Not that a lot of stuff isn't a cash grab, but sometimes it's just like overtly so, versus taking two worlds that maybe could blend in a way. And I think that's going to be one of the interesting things when we talk about this one, because we do have New York City, which is kind of where the Turtles are often kind of depicted as being from, or being like, that's usually their setting. And then in the Batman world, obviously we have Gotham, which has always been basically a version of New York City in my mind, and probably in most people's minds. So, and they do even make some comments on this when they mention New York and Gotham City, and then there's a line where somebody says, well, they're basically the same.
Yes.
So like, that's a great line. But so it does make sense in a way, I guess, to blend these two worlds. But then I guess in playing devil's advocate, maybe it doesn't make sense, because you're taking two places that are virtually the same thing and then trying to act like they're different. So I don't know where you kind of fell on that, but we have a whole slew of characters that we're going to see. On the turtle side, we're going to see, obviously, the four main turtles. We're going to see Shredder. We're going to see Baxter Stockman. We are going to see... is that it for the turtle side? I feel like I'm... They don't have April O'Neil. They don't have Splinter, do they?
Nope. That's basically it. I mean, a bunch of foot soldiers, but yeah.
Yeah, so we basically have the Turtles, Baxter Stockman, and Shredder. On the other side of the fence, though, with the Batman aspect, we get almost everybody that's ever been involved in a Batman story, yeah. I feel like. So we're going to have Batman, we're going to have the Joker, Robin, Batgirl, Alfred, the Commissioner, Gordon, Scarecrow, Ra's al Ghul, Two-Face, the Penguin, the League of Assassins, Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, and Mr. Freeze and Bane. So how do you feel like the setup of this story, given that it's way more Batman characters than it is Turtle characters, the Gotham / New York, like how do you feel like these two worlds gelled with each other?
It seems like very much that they were trying to ape the Batman animated series, as well as a little bit of like, you know, the early Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and like just trying to cross over those two worlds. Not technically in those universes, but it definitely seems that they are taking influences a lot, probably more so Batman than TMNT. TMNT seems to be a bit more of a mixture, especially with, you know, the way the characters act. But I think they mix pretty well. It's interesting because the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are modeled after, you know, very much the Daredevil, because Daredevil has the hand, they have the foot, you know. So, and there's been things where the turtles mutated based upon the same toxin that impacted Daredevil. So like them going into Marvel it's not that big of a change. Also considering the fact that, you know, you also have the League of Assassins, and were those influenced by one another. So I think they mesh pretty well together. I was a bit surprised that they said they existed within the same world. That was something I wasn't expecting. I was waiting for them to, like, you know, be some sort of, you know, going into a different dimension or something like that, because it does raise a lot of questions. Like, I feel like Batman would know more about the Shredder and everything. Like, it seemed like, you know, considering Batman, I feel like he'd be much more up on the turtles. You know, he seems to try to investigate everything. So that seemed a bit surprising. It didn't really mesh there. But outside of some nitpicks like that, I think they fit pretty well together. And when they don't fit well together, it makes sense. This, of course, the, you know, rambunctious teenagers versus the self-serious Batman, and their interplay, I thought, worked well.
Another thing that we're going to see in this, obviously, is we have a lot of like classic DC voice actors that have done a whole lot of voice acting, not just in the DC universe, but in a lot of things. So there's a lot of well-known voice actors, but there's some new people as far as taking on the roles of the turtles. Eric Bosla does a lot of stuff in the voice world, but, you know, this is his foray, I think, into voicing Leonardo, unless he did it in one of the other movies. I can't remember at the moment. Darren Criss as Raphael, Baron Von Donatello, and Kyle Mooney as Michelangelo. Then we get Andrew Cascino as Shredder and Keith Ferguson as Baxter Stockman. All of the other voices that are involved in the DC side, I believe, match up with the people that were voicing those characters, at least in some of the other animated works that revolved around DC. So how do you feel like the performances were? And then also kind of piggyback off that a little bit, how do you feel, because we've talked about this in every other movie we've covered, how do you feel like they capture the essence of the characters when it comes to just strictly the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
I thought, you know, when it comes to the performances, I thought they were really solid. Like I mentioned how it tried to ape a lot of the animated series. I definitely felt that with the voice cast. Like at first I'm like, oh, is that Kevin Conroy? Because Troy Baker's Batman sounded a lot like Kevin Conroy. I don't know if that was intentional. I feel like it was similar to Joker, and this felt very similar to that of Mark Hamill. So, and you also had, of course, like Tara Strong doing Harley Quinn, who has done that character before. So I definitely, like, it did seem like they were doing, I don't want to say impressions, but they were heavily influenced. I think that was definitely the direction, considering the consistency throughout. And I thought the turtles, like, I did not know that was Kyle Mooney. Like, that did not really cross my mind. But I thought when it came to the turtles, like, everyone felt right in this for the most part. Outside of some of, like, the villains that showed up here and there, like Mr. Freeze and Bane, for example, like, Bane being really stupid, like, not knowing how turtle shells work. Overall, when it came to characterization, it seemed to work pretty well.
Yeah, I will get more into the villains probably here in a little bit, but I agree. It was something that we hadn't seen a lot in the other Turtles movies, was the Turtles actually use their shells for things. I mean, we've seen it a little bit, but it seems like it really took that to another level in this one, as far as them using those shells and popping in and out and stuff like that, which was kind of interesting and nice to see, because it's like, why haven't they done this more in the past? There are turtles. But another thing that I wanted to get your opinion of before we get into kind of the story itself and what happens with some of the plot, etc., is One thing I noticed right away is that we're blending two worlds that traditionally have a much different level of maturity, I guess, for lack of a better term. Whereas, granted, the Turtles comics are darker, and we've talked about that a little bit with some of the live-action films, the Turtles in animation form have been a lot more, not always as comical as they were in the 87 cartoon, but even in the 2000 cartoon, you don't see a lot of people die. You don't see a lot of, major violence. Like, yes, they're fighting. Yes, they're battling. And they're doing, like, what you would typically see on, like, a Saturday morning cartoon. Whereas in the DC world, you know, you're having more blood. You're having more death. You're having more of that type of stuff because of just the nature of the source material, I guess, and et cetera. So did it catch you off guard at all when you're seeing some of that more mature aspects involved with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, or did you feel like it's just more getting them closer in line with like the original comics?
I thought the tone of this was really off. That was like my biggest complaint with it, because I mentioned how it seemed influenced by the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cartoon of the 80s and 90s. There's a lot of that humor, like, you know, running into Alfred with a bunch of pizzas. And then you mentioned then there was like extreme violence, like someone getting a ninja star right in the head and you see all of it, or like heads being chopped off. Usually even the Batman cartoons, the violence is hidden. Like, it's very not much blood or anything like that outside of some of the more adult movies and things of that nature. But I thought that, to me, like, I couldn't get a handle of it. And sometimes it felt very much kid-like. The animation style, I felt like it leans that way. Like, looking at just the animation, I was like, oh, this is more designed for, like, kids or young adults. Not, and this is PG-13, but, like, the violence sometimes was unnecessary, too, to some degree. Like, it didn't really add much. And it, like, if you could have just hit it or at least implied it a bit more, I think it would have been more consistent because, like, this is PG-13, but I felt like the humor in a lot of ways probably wouldn't appeal to a lot of teenagers. And, like, you know, a lot of the jokes seemed a bit lower than that. So that's where it felt all over the place for me. Like, it didn't really seem like it knew what it wanted to be. I hate that phrase, but it seemed like that sometimes. Like, even with the storyline and where it went, like, it seemed very, you know, over the top and not serious, but then we get some scenes where you get this heavy level of violence. So I don't know, it seemed rather inconsistent in that vein.
Yeah, I agree too, because I feel like when you're having something like this, like, that's a mashup, I guess my mind first goes to, I'm not talking about like a mashup like within the comics or, you know, different things like that, I'm talking about when we're seeing it in animation form, I guess my mind first goes to the expectations of something like we saw with Turtles Forever. Like, I'm thinking that we're going to have this, like, fun combination, this world meets that world, and what happens when this character interacts with this character, or this character fights that character, and I guess I just think of it more in a lighthearted standpoint, so then, and like you said, there's a lot of those lighthearted elements in here, but then when you see that violence, I'm like, it took me aback, because I'm like, I was not expecting this, and I wouldn't, unless I did the research ahead of time, like, I wouldn't have known that was coming, and this is something that I could have, like, accidentally shown, like, my kid or something like that, you know what I mean, at one point, and not making the determination if they're ready to see that type of violence, because I wasn't expecting it, so it kind of threw me off a little bit with that, and I agree with you, it seems like it's all over the place, because there's a lot of stuff that you can't take serious at all in here, and then there's just, like, blood and decapitations and things of that nature. So it's like, pick a lane and go with it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it just is, like, this is the Batman DC world and Turtles are just playing a part in it, but I don't know. Like, is this... I have two questions for you. I assume you've seen more of the DC animated body of work than I have, perhaps, whether it be Batman animated series or any of those types of series. Are those shows more violent, like we see some of the depiction here, or is that different?
The Batman animated series, no. Like, I mean, it had implied violence. It was still, you know, a kid's cartoon, so it couldn't show you any level of extreme violence. You know, there were some moments where, like, you thought someone died or something like that. Like, some things that are here and there, but, like, nothing to the point where you're seeing heads chopped off, like, directly, or ninja stars to the... to the mm-hmm. back of the cranium to this level. Some of the direct-to-DVD movies, like some of those that are PG-13, we've had R's, for example, like the Dark Knight Returns, like that had extreme, you know, violence to it. So in that vein, yeah, it's been different depending upon, you know, what right. they're going for. But like I said, to me, like, when I'm watching this, it seems to be aping those animated series, but then we get those moments. It's like, you know, at one moment it's directed by Zack Snyder, the other it's directed by Brian Schumacher, and it's like they keep passing it back and forth, and depending upon what scene or what they're doing, you're going to get a different take. So.
Right. My other question for you is, since I'm not as experienced with the DC animated world, and whether it be the cartoons or obviously the made-for-DVD type stuff, which obviously they had a little bit more licensing to do different stuff, from a visual standpoint, do the characters in DC animation typically not have eyeballs? Or
Yeah, that's okay. A Batman thing. Like, Batman's okay. always had the white of the eyes. Like, that's always been his, like, you know, his go-to. So, yeah, that's been his forte forever. It's always have, like, the gotcha. Little white slits. And it doesn't make sense, like, the more you think about it. I think it's sometimes why it doesn't always translate well to live action, or they have to put, like, the black behind the eyes. But no, that's gotcha. Kind of, like, that's kind of the norm. So
you're used to that, to seeing that in Batman and some of, obviously, those types of characters. Did it throw you off at all seeing the turtles with these white eyes? And to me, it just, like, it threw me off because it takes away so much of the expression. It takes away so much of the visual storytelling that I pick up on when I'm being able to see someone's eyes and expressions. And you already have turtles, so they already are lacking in some of the visual expression that you would normally see, like from a human being or from different like maybe even different animals. So we have these bandanas, you know, turtles don't really have ears, so to speak, you know, we're not having different haircuts. So a lot of what I've seen before you get from the turtles' eyes, and in this one, they just have the whited out eyes like Batman. And to me, that takes away a lot from the turtles. I don't know, maybe you were not as affected, but what was your take on that?
I honestly didn't notice it at all because I just kind of normed to it. I didn't love the animation style per se, like the design of the turtles, like especially Donatello, like his head seemed too human, like the shape of it. So it just, I don't know, he seemed weird. I wasn't the hugest fan of their design overall. Maybe it was because of the eyes, I didn't notice, but they just seemed to like have lacking in definition, and yeah. maybe they were guarding the expression, but to me it wasn't necessarily just the eyes, it was just the, you know, it was very minimalistic in like the amount of lines that they use, which is not always a bad thing. But it just seemed a bit off because their head shape didn't seem to like make sense. So it just, they didn't seem like turtles. Leonardo seemed fine, but like the others, especially like I said, Donatello looked like a cute, like it reminded me of Morph, which is a Marvel character that is kind of like has no form. And that's all I could think of seeing him. But
so. Yeah, I didn't like, I thought it stood out with Donatello and Raphael. Raphael had like a squarish.
Yeah.
And it seemed like, whereas Michelangelo and Leonardo a little bit more looked like the turtles I'm used to. But I wrote down, even, it's funny you said lack of description or lack of
definition.
I wrote down in my notes lack of detail. Like, So we were both definitely thinking along the same line. So when we get into the actual story, and we don't have to dissect it too much, but we obviously are in Gotham. We have like Shredder and the turtles who have ran to Gotham, and we have Baxter Stockman and Shredder who are helping Ra's al Ghul basically assemble a thing that's going to unleash mutagen / ooze into the population, which is going to make them all revert back to their animalistic nature, even though that's not what happened with the turtles, guys. Like, the turtles did not change species when they got the ooze or mutagen, but apparently that's what happens in this world when anybody else is coming into contact with them. That's a side story, I guess. So it's going to unleash all this ooze, and it's going to turn the population into more of their animalistic natures. And I guess that's going to help Ra's al Ghul and everybody take over. Like, aren't humans about the most pathetic, like, species? Like, I would think it would be more easy to take over a city full of just regular old human beings than it is like human beings that are turned into like animals and things of that nature, but maybe I wasn't paying enough attention during this movie. We do see that the villains of the Batman world all get exposed to this, and they each turn into a different type of animal, which is very silly on surface value. Like, if you're just reading that, you're like, oh, and the Joker's going to turn into a python or whatever snake he was, and this one's going to turn into a bear, and this one's going to turn into blah blah blah. It sounds really silly on the surface. What was your take, though, just as the story in general, and seeing all of these classic DC Batman villains turning into all of these like hybrid animal versions of themselves?
Yeah. So to clarify, like, when it comes to the League of Assassins, it's, I don't know if you remember Batman Begins, but like, they don't want to take over the city. They just want the city to destroy itself. Okay. So
that makes more sense, though.
Yeah. Like, the idea is like, they want it to implode, and they're kind of, you know, imagine like the white blood cells of the world, you know, getting rid of things because Gotham is unsavable. That's just something that they're known for. So if you don't know that going in, it really wasn't super well described. I think that's the thing with like a movie like this. I kind of come, same thing if I read the comic. Like, I'm not going in this, you know, expecting a great storyline. It's basically fan service, and I usually something I would have an issue with, but in this, it's expected. So it's just like, how well are you going to execute it? Mm-hmm. And I guess some of that's like, okay, well, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, well, let's make the Marvel characters, or DC characters, mutants as well. And I guess, like, I don't know. That's where, to me, like, the tone of it felt off, because it's silly and stupid. So if it's a kid's thing, I don't have an issue with it, because it makes sense for like a Saturday morning cartoon. Mm-hmm. But if something that's meant to be PG-13, I feel like it's kind of to be a bit more serious per se. And especially because it'd be strange that a lot of these villains would be just okay being these weird creatures now, like Bane being okay being a crazy cat, or Mr. Freeze being a giant polar bear or something like that. Like, it just seemed like, okay, they're just okay with this, I guess, since they're super powerful. But at the same time, you're no longer like a human being. Removing that, it was fun at least. I like, that's the thing is, like, if I just remove those elements of violence, this was a movie that didn't take itself too seriously. It was fun and entertaining. Like, there were some good jokes in it, like how Poison Ivy was stuck to the floor and then you couldn't get her. And like, there was like sometimes like, okay, like this movie knows what it is and it's leaning into it, which was fun. So yeah, like, I thought it's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know if we needed all these additional DC villains, but I guess they were there just for cannon fodder. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it wasn't the highlight. I think it was interesting that like this kind of gave us those fan service moments up front. And at the end, and then the middle, we kind of got a little bit of filler.
Yeah, and I think if they would have just picked a lane and stuck with it, like, if you want to be a little bit more comical, if you want to be a little bit more like the 1987 Turtles cartoon, and I'm not saying everything has to be like that, but I'm just saying if they would have gone that route and just kind of mixed these worlds and had fun with it and had the jokes, like, you know, we hear the Turtles when they're talking to Penguin calling it like a gun umbrella and a sword umbrella, and you have the Poison Ivy joke as far as her not being able to get everywhere. You have the kind of nod to New York and Gotham being similar. Like, you have all that stuff, which is all kind of more of that humor. So I think if you just take some of those, the bloodshed and some of the violence out, you still get like the classic, what probably somebody is tuning in to watch, which is Shredder and Batman in a fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Exactly. Or the Turtles against, you know, some of the Batman villains. Like, you get those moments and it doesn't necessarily feel forced because it feels like it's a natural part of the story. So I feel like if you just went with that route, it was fine. You know, and I could put like logic aside when it comes to all the villains turning into animals. When the mutant really turned little animals into like mutated animals of the same animal, but that's fine. And there was, you know, the whole thing where it was going to be combined with Joker venom.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So, I mean, there's some fun stuff with that and that's all fun. So I think if they would have just stuck with a lane and just went down that road, that would have been fine. I think they struggled a little bit combining the two worlds in what you're talking about with mainly tone. And I think that's kind of where the movie has its biggest flaws. Did you hear the Pink Floyd quote in here?
I don't think so.
I swear there's a Pink Floyd quote, and they even like say it almost to the tone of the song, and they say, "Hey creature, leave that kid alone." pretty much. And I was like, so,
they do throw a lot into this, like the stuff I even missed. There's a lot of little jokes, and that's one thing. It did always have really great lines, like like Michelangelo, I thought was a star of this, because him like riding the T-Rex with the cape on, and then later he's like, "I'm sorry, I wore your hood." Like, it just like just a lot of good callback jokes, I thought. So like, you know, it hit. It wasn't all misses, but there was a lot that I did not pick up on, that joke included.
Yeah, and then it was just like they said it with like the perfect cadence, and I'm like, they did. That's great. And I think they did choose right about going into Gotham, because then it puts the turtles as the ones that are kind of the fish out of water.
Yeah,
no pun intended, and or turtles out of water, because then they're the ones that are able to make like those jokes. They're the ones that are being able to like observe the world and compare it to New York, and they're much more suited to do that than had you flipped it the other way and had like the Batman characters in Turtles world, which I don't think would have worked as well. So I think they made a good choice with that. Overall, the film did all right as far as what I mean. It's a direct to DVD movie, so it's not trying to like,
yeah,
there's no box office necessarily, but from a critical response, I get it. It's only 13 reviews, but it has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, I believe, is what I saw. So I mean, critically, I guess it's accepted pretty well. Said it had an average rating of 7.5 out of 10. Do you think that there is any room to have some type of sequel for this as far as another Batman TMNT crossover? Or do you feel like Turtles works with any other universe that could work in a crossover standpoint? Or do you think this is good and it should be left alone and you're ready to move on to like just strictly Turtle content?
Well, based upon the stinger at the end, I don't know if you caught that, but we had Shredder come out and he's now like Joker Shredder.
Yes.
So I'd be interested to see that per se. I don't know. You know, again, if you're going to go for it, go for it. So if you're going to do this crazy mashup, do it. So I would be okay seeing it. I think it's interesting because the Turtles have crossed over with like so many different things. Like just this year, for example, they've had a crossover with Street Fighter. They've had a crossover with Stranger Things and Usagi Yojimbo, which they've crossover with a bunch. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, I would be for more Turtle crossovers. Like I mentioned, like it's probably never going to happen because Disney doesn't play nice with other people. But like a TMNT Daredevil crossover, there's a lot of crossover there in general. Like I said, they're very much TMNT is very much influenced off of Daredevil. So that would be great. But they've done everything from like the Archie world, because they used to be in Archie comics. It's crazy. Like but I didn't see anything regarding a sequel being announced yet, but I know there's been a lot of crazy things going on, so who knows? And then we obviously have an upcoming Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie, so I hope we do get that sequel. I'm all for it. I just hope it kind of, you know, picks a lane a little bit more next time.
Yeah, I guess there was just one little blurb on like the Wikipedia page from the producer and screenwriter that expressed interest in a sequel and mentioned Krang and Bebop and Rocksteady, etc.
But yeah, they have to go to New York next, I guess.
I think you pointed out something that I would be all about, and again, this is coming from someone that doesn't usually like a lot of like just crossovers for the sake of crossovers, but I think Daredevil and this like I could see a live action, if you took like the live action almost more akin to like the 90s live action, the original one, and somehow modernize that into a Daredevil and had Casey Jones in that universe. Like, I would be all for that. Like, I think there's potential there, and so I would be a fan of that. So, but yeah, this is interesting, because like I said, I didn't even know this film existed overall. Did you come down ultimately positive on this film, even though the tone was, like we said, uneven and some of the violence maybe not necessary? Do you feel like it stacks up and is a good film overall, or what was your overall, like, kind of where you landed on it?
I think so. I think if you're a fan of the, you know, animated series of the 80s and 90s, I think you'll enjoy this. If you told me as a kid that these two worlds, these two cartoons were coming together, my mind would go crazy. And I think it delivered on that. Like I said, the fan service is there. It's fun. It's exciting. It's a bit all over the place. Like I mentioned, a little sloppy here and there, but at least it had fun with it. Like it was competently made. Things kind of made sense. We got it. The fan service moments were there and I really enjoyed it. Like we didn't mention the action, but I thought the action in this was actually done really well. Like the Shredder and Batman fight, like that was a direct-to-DVD animated movie. I thought it looked great, even the fight at the end. So I was entertained throughout it. I just, at times, I was taken aback by like some of the choices that they made. But I was glad I watched it because I probably would not have if not for this retrospective. So
yeah, I'm glad we decided to kind of go through some of the directive to movie ones as well. Amanda had a comment. She walked through it. I can't remember which sequence it is, but they did hold true to the fact that there's always seems to be in every one of these movies a time where there's four turtles fighting one person and the turtles are just getting their butt handed to them. Yeah. Like that just seems to be a thing. Like they're not very good when they're all together.
I also liked how like they called themselves out when they're like, Raphael's like, I always go away and like and then I get in trouble. I'm like, yeah, he does. There were and like I did like the fact that they were very, you know, some meta jokes in there, which again goes with the original Turtles cartoon because right. It had a lot of meta humor. It wasn't like directly talking to us. It didn't go to like that route, but it came as close as you could.
So. Right. I agree. Yeah, overall, I had fun with this one. Like I said, it was a little bit, some of the plot elements and some of the violence and tone didn't work 100%. But I think, like you said, overall, like the movie from a filmmaking standpoint is competently made, competently voiced, performed. You know, the action works, the jokes work for me. I just wish it was kind of stuck to that humor lane and it would have elevated it even just a little bit more for me. So we've actually come to almost the end here of the movies that have already come out. We only have one left to cover, and that is Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the movie, which came out last year, another direct to streaming. This was direct to Netflix, I believe, based on the cartoon series that it went along with. So that's the last one we have to cover before we get to the actual movie that's being released in theaters this year, which is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. So that's where we're at in this turtle series. If you've been enjoying it, please let us know and comment on our different socials and on the website. This is episode 199, so we might do something. We might sneak a different episode in here to mark our 200th episode. We will figure that out offline and get back to you, but we will definitely come back to cover Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the movie, and at some point, once we're able to see it, the Mutant Mayhem. So, Dan, any closing thoughts on this one and where we're at right now in the retrospective?
No, a lot of turtles. I, you know, it's been interesting kind of just seeing how much this franchise has changed and kind of took two steps forward, one step back. And I've only watched, like, I think the first 10 minutes of the movie we're watching next week. I'm interested in seeing what that's like because I did not watch any of that animated series compared to like Turtles Forever, which I did. So wonder what that's going to be like. So we'll see. But I'm really excited.
Go ahead. I'm hoping we don't have to have a whole lot of knowledge of that series because I haven't seen any of it.
Yeah, might be like, I had no idea what was going on. I mean, compared to like TMNT, which had, you know, 15 minutes of exposition before we got into them, it can't be that much more complicated than that.
and you said you're really excited about what?
Oh, and I'm also just super excited for the new movie that's coming out. I keep seeing more things about it. I've been trying to keep away from it, but yeah. I don't know. I hope my hopes up. I keep comparing it to like Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse because it has that similar style to it, which might be setting myself up for disappointment, but we'll see.
It seems like it's coming out at the right time with all of this, you know, all these different like metaverses or universes that are blending. Like it seems like people are ready for that. I'm coming around on the look and the animation style only because I get to see it on like 1,000 pizza boxes every day. So I'm coming around on that. I guess they've had some clever marketing with that type of stuff going on. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. So Dan, real quick, as we close, how can other people see more of your content, hear more of your opinions on comics and other turtle different related things?
You can find me as Comic Concierge on pretty much all major social medias, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or whatever they're calling it now. And so, yeah. It's the best way to find me.
And you can check out some more of my opinions if you want to search out the YouTube channel Geek Showcase. I also have Instagram that I don't do very much on, but it also has a Twitter and a Facebook. I am releasing, as we speak, when you hear this, it'll already be released. So my latest video on there is going to be talking about the top 10 fictional rats. It may or may not be connected to what we're talking about. So you can check that out if you want to. Just head over to the YouTube channel, Geek Showcase. So that does it for this episode of Cinema Geeks. We'll be back next time to celebrate our 200th episode of the Cinema Geeks. Check it out.